pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
During the dispensation of promise, there were promises made by God to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we see that, as we've studied in our previous lessons, how that these promises were made by God to Abraham and Isaac. And we've also seen partly of the promise made to Jacob. And I've made mention before that the birthright or the inheritance was bestowed upon Jacob according to Genesis chapter 27. We read in verses 28 and 29, it says, "Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee." Well, we see in verse 28 that God promised prosperity to Jacob. Verse 29, that people will serve him. And verse 29 also says that they will be in subjection to him. And verse 29 not only says that people would be in subjection to him, not only would the brethren of his nationality be in subjection to him, so would his blood brothers be in subjection to him. And also in verse 29, people who would bitterly curse Jacob would themselves be cursed. And this promise was made to all people in verse 29, who would bless Jacob. Those people who would bless Jacob would in turn be blessed. Jeremiah asked a question in Jeremiah chapter 15 and verse 5. "For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? Or who shall bemoan thee? Or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest?" Well, I find the answer to Jeremiah's question in Psalm chapter 122 and verse 6. It says, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee." Well, it's plain by those verses, by that last verse that I read in Psalm 122 and verse 6, that those who have pity upon Jerusalem are those who pray for Jerusalem. The people of Israel, in other words, and that would be Jacob. Pray for the people of Jerusalem, that's the Israelites. And those who bemoan Jerusalem are those who pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And the peace not only comes from relief from physical warfare, but real peace comes for Israel in knowing Christ as Savior. We don't want to forget that all people are saved the same way during all dispensations that we've talked about and that we will talk about. People are always saved the same way, whether you're a Jew, a Gentile, no matter who you are, you're saved the same way, and that is knowing Christ as Savior. Well, Paul had a burden for Israel to know Christ as Savior. He wanted his people to know Christ. Romans chapter 9 and verse 3 says, "For I could wish myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." Well, not only did Paul have a great burden for his people to be saved, but Christ had a burden for Israel to know him as Lord and Savior. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37 says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." And my question is, what burden do we have for Israel? And more pointedly, what burden do you have for Israel? Remember, God promises a blessing for those who would pray for Israel, who would bless Israel. Well, the promise that was made to Jacob, and this is an unconditional dual promise that was made to Abraham and is now given to Jacob by God himself. And Genesis 28:13 says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." Genesis 28:15 says, "And behold, I am with thee." God's telling Jacob this. "I am with thee and will give thee, will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." Well, this is a promise of physical greatness. In Genesis 28:14, it says, "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south." Well, this promise, of course, was also made to Abraham. And in essence, it's passed on to Jacob and to future generations. Genesis 22:18 says, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." Well, this is a promise to bless all the world through his seed, Jesus Christ. We read this once again in Genesis 28:14. It says, "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north, to the south." And notice this now, the seed would, Jesus Christ would bless everyone. That verse goes on to say in Genesis 28:14, "And in thee, and in thy seed, shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Well, this is because everyone has an opportunity to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and be blessed. Blessed in the sense that they would be a child of God once they've trusted Jesus as Savior, and they would be blessed that one day. Anyone who trusts Jesus as Lord and Savior will go to heaven. This is a promise. Now, this is a promise, of course, the future possession of the land to the people of Israel. Genesis 28:13 says, "And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord, God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land wherein thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed." Well, this, of course, will not take place until the millennium. Revelation 20:4 says, "And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. This is the millennium. Jeremiah 23:5-6 says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." This, of course, is speaking of the millennium that will take place. Well, notice also that this promise of giving the land, of bringing the people into the land, giving them the land, this is speaking also of eternity. Luke 1:32-33, it says, "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." This is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelation 21:1-5, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Now this is speaking of eternity, not the millennium. This is speaking when Jesus Christ will rule forever. This is speaking of eternity on this earth. Those verses speak of men. It says the tabernacle of God is with men. That's human beings. The inheritance that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will finally be forever. No one will ever be able to take it from them again. As we see them even today, as they are in the land, they do not have all of the land, but one day they will have what God has promised. Something happened to the children of Israel. God's promises were disbelieved, as we've been studying the promises that were made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We see that there was unbelief of the children of Israel. Throughout their history, the children of Israel have failed to take God at His word and have failed to believe God's promises. They would rather stay in Egypt, the world, than to serve God. I'm sure that you've studied and you've read how that they were in Egypt for some 400 years, and they were under the dictatorship of Pharaoh, and they were treated as cattle. Chapter 14, verses 10 through 14 of Exodus says, And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now, if you'll keep reading those verses, Exodus 14, verses 10 through 14, you'll see how that they were escaping from Egypt, how that they were delivered by God out of Egypt, how that they went to the Red Sea, and God parted the sea, and they crossed over on dry ground, and how that Pharaoh's army was destroyed after they chased after the children of Israel. They were delivered. The children of Israel were delivered out of bondage of Egypt. Oh, but they were backbiters. They were troublemakers. Even after all of this, they caused trouble. Exodus chapter 15, verses 23 through 26. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, What shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. And there he made for them a statute and an ordinance. And there he proved them, and said, If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Well, they were troublemakers. They disbelieved God even after everything that God had done for them, bringing them out of Egypt, keeping them safe for 400 years, and then bringing them out into liberty. Well, God has made promises to everyone in this world that if they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father. In other words, they won't be saved other than through Jesus Christ. Call upon Him today. Trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Ask Him to save you, and He will. Lift me up, and
let me stand. You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.